It's a foggy night on old Cape Cod. A perfect night for a mystery. Tonight, Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater presents a Captain Underhill mystery entitled Edgar Allan Crow and the Purloined Letter.
More minutes, Brady. All your people in position?
Everyone's in place. Guards, volunteers, and appraisers.
Miss Linehan?
Yes?
Man here to see you. I didn't quite catch the name. Umpermill?
Underhill?
That's it.
Terrific.
Says you're related.
Yes, we are. Please send him up. Thank you.
I'll send him up.
Great news, Mr. Kriegel. He's arrived.
So I hear.
I'm thrilled. Now you can finally get to meet him. Up here, Uncle Waverly. There you are, still wearing that ratty old bow tie.
It is not ratty. Besides, you gave it to me.
Come along, there's someone I've been dying for you to meet. Mr. Kriegel, may I present my Uncle Waverly Underhill. Uncle Waverly, this is Helms Kriegel I've told you about.
Captain Underhill, how do you do?
Mr. Kriegel, a pleasure, sir.
Oh, no, formalities, please. I'm Helms.
I'm Waverly.
You see, we're about to get started.
Oh, well, don't let me interrupt.
Here, Captain, sit here, back here with me. We won't be in the way back here.
Thanks.
So, you're the great detective I've heard so much about.
Don't believe everything my niece tells you.
She's told me about some of your amazing exploits.
And I've heard about you too, Mr. Kriegel.
Helms.
My niece has told me about you, and I've known about you for some time anyway. Kris Kringle. Kris Kriegel. Isn't that what they call you? Father Christmas for public television?
One does not control the nicknames others bestow.
No, but they are usually given for good reason.
I shan't quarrel with the great detective.
You both are being modest back there. It's sickening. Captain Underhill, you are a fabulous detective. And Mr. Kriegel, you are simply a wise, old, generous benefactor.
Old, am I?
I mean long time.
Joyce, the natives are getting restless. If we don't open up soon, I'm afraid they're going to start using their antiques to batter down the doors.
Rory?
Ready.
Sandy?
Whenever you are.
Okay, Brady, open the floodgates. Let them in.
We just got the word. Open the doors. Let them in.
Mr. Kriegel, notice the LOB monitor. The Yahtzee brothers have arrived.
And the movers are bringing in the first piece of furniture. They'll be getting started soon.
We'll understand if you care. Lots of people have trouble. We certainly want you to know how much we appreciate your letting us use this on the Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, no. I've been looking forward to what you're going to say about it.
What's the LOB?
Large Object Bay, where the big stuff is brought in. In the large object bay, appraisals are done by scheduled appointment throughout the day.
I see.
Smaller items, so-called collectibles, come in the front door with the general public. We have absolutely no idea what's going to show up until it does.
That's why we have to have so many experts on hand to cope with the unexpected. Something unusual crops up every time.
That's what makes the road show so exciting. So, Captain, what brings you here today? Did you come just to watch your niece in action, or have you brought along some relic to be price-tagged by the experts?
The only relic I brought is me, I'm afraid. Senile, rickety old moi.
Ah, sure no rickety relic. I can tell that. Clearly you're a vital man.
I wish you'd tell that to my doctor friend. He's down there in one of those lines somewhere. He ought to have been an appraiser himself instead of a physician. The way he's always pestering me with unsolicited appraisals about my medical condition. Telling me how badly I'm deteriorating. How much I need restoring.
What about antiques? Do you collect anything?
No.
Yes, you do. What about police memorabilia?
Oh, that's true. I momentarily forgot. I do have one or two collections, most of which have their own collections.
And what do they collect?
Dust.
Unit 1, stand by. They're already set up with the first appraisal.
That was fast.
Unit 3, stand by. Unit 1, we're starting recording. Rolling. 4, 3, 2, 1. Cue the appraiser.
Appraiser, you're on. Go ahead.
Brought us something.
Start over again. You overlap.
Start over again.
Rolling. 4, 3, 2, 1. You're on.
Go.
Okay. You both brought us something very special today. Can you tell us how you came by it?
We bought it at a garage sale.
That's right.
So, Captain, you still haven't told me what brings you here. Of course, if it's for some investigative purpose, it's none of my business. However, I am quite good at keeping secrets.
Sandy?
Not for me to say, Uncle, but if I were you...
If you were me, what? Say it.
If I were you, I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, why didn't you just say so?
Well, I just did.
My niece always wanted to be a detective. I think she'd make a good one, too, Mr. Kriegel.
Helms. No doubt she would.
Very well. Since Sandy has given her blessing, I will tell you the reason I'm here. Though you will have to accept it confidentially.
I won't divulge it to anyone. You have my word.
Good. You see that bank of monitors?
The appraiser's tables? Yes.
Top right?
The ceramics table?
Yes. Those two appraisers sitting there, the one on the left in the foreground.
Who is he? I've never seen him before.
Name is Augie Nickelswipe.
Augie Nickelswipe?
Well, it's really Augustine Nichols White III, but in police circles, it's always Nickelswipe. Talk about nicknames befitting subjects. Anyway, he's... Wait, he's conversing with that appraiser beside him. Sandy?
What?
Augie is talking. Can we eavesdrop? I want to hear what he's saying.
Rory?
Sure.
This is better than my telling you, Helms. A little dose of Augie to show you what he's really like.
Imagine the beauty of it. Holding a public event where all the people in town turn out to voluntarily show off their most precious heirlooms and then get back in their cars and return to their homes. It is a lifter's showcase, is what it is. A burglar's boutique. Wouldn't Fagin and Sykes love this?
Well, I know what you mean.
For the little lambs queuing up with their little treasures.
Here comes the crowd.
Most of which is pure junk. A very small percentage, real. And they, with no more notion of what they've got than the ignorant yard sale owner or flea marketeer who sold it to them. One could easily make a killing here.
One could, I suppose. If we didn't have to be so honest and above board. If it wasn't for that stickler, right? If it wasn't for those pesky ethics, right?
Huh? Oh, right, yeah. Know why it is when we ask them, what do you think it's worth? And they always say, having a clue. Because they haven't a clue. No brains, period.
Ceramic man?
Ah, yes, sir. May I help you?
You the fellow I'm supposed to show this to? You the ceramic man?
That would be me.
Careful now. Breakable.
Most ceramic is. I see, and that's why you brought it in a paper bag.
Well, I knew I wouldn't drop it. See? But I wasn't so sure about you. I trust myself, but...
Lift it out, please. Oh.
I bet you haven't seen one of these before.
Thankfully, no.
Ask me how much I paid for it.
Do I have to? Whatever it was too much.
Can you tell me about it?
It has no redeeming value, offends every taste, utterly worthless, pure junk. Throw it away, and make sure you break it when you do, so it doesn't live on. Next! Thank you.
Wait, that's all you're going to tell?
Nothing more to tell, mate. It's not even good kitsch. Next! Please, next.
Sandy, come here. Have you heard this man, this Nickelswipe?
I've heard him.
She's heard him.
He's insufferably rude.
I know.
What is he doing here? He doesn't represent the spirit of the roadshow in the least. Why would you have a man like that?
Believe it or not, he's one of our best appraisers.
I don't care how good he is.
She's doing it as a favor to me, Helms.
Ah, of course, I see. Then you're telling me his criminal tendencies are more than just tendencies.
A lot more. He's a full-blown scoundrel.
What's he done?
Better ask what he hasn't. Mostly petty stuff, but included are two counts of attempted murder.
Attempted murder? My God.
I was one of the attempts. My doctor friend and I narrowly escaped with our lives.
Why isn't he in jail?
He was. He should be.
Then why is he out? Do you know?
I believe so. Because a lady friend of his, who was also in on it, convinced the judge it was all a prank. So they let him go.
How does that make you feel?
A bit shafted. But I understand how the legal system operates. I've been around it long enough.
What do you intend to do here?
My intention is to keep an eye on Augie and to foil whatever he attempts. And he'll attempt something. I'm sure of it. He calls them lambs. That makes him a wolf in sheep's clothing, but it makes me the eagle-eyed hawk up in this tree that he doesn't even know is watching. And I'll be videotaping his every move.
What do you think he'll try?
No way of predicting that. There are too many opportunities down there, and Augie is too much an opportunist. But he will attempt something. And when he does, I'll be there to nab him. Hopefully it'll be something serious enough to send him back to jail, where he belongs. A go-back-to-jail-free card.
I see.
Camera 2, we're approaching the zinger. Get ready for the reaction.
Now that I've described what an unusual piece it is, can you try taking a guess at how much you think it's worth?
No idea.
No.
Well, would I surprise
you... Get ready,
you,
Camera 2.
If I told you at auction, this could very well fetch in the neighborhood of $4,000. Oh.
Oh.
On a good day, maybe even five.
That's so, huh?
Surprised?
Oh.
That one probably won't make it into the Roadshow treasure chest.
American Gothic. Where's
they
the pitchfork?
I've seen more animation out of fence posts.
Joyce, what do you think? Do you need me for a while?
We seem to be up and running smoothly. I'll call if I need you.
All right. I think we're going to head over to the LOB. Uncle Waverly, will you join us? We're going to go see the Yahtzee brothers do some appraising.
Come along.
I should stay.
Come on, it's fun to watch them do it live. You can take a break, can't you? You said it's all being videotaped. You can examine the videotapes later.
You have a point. I won't run into Augie, will I?
I don't see how. Appraisers have to stay by their stations. He's way up front. We'll be way in the back.
I am curious, I admit.
Come along, then. You'll enjoy them. I'll introduce you to them both when they're not busy.
All right. All right, you've talked me into it.
Good.
But just for a short while.
Excellent. Let's go. Right this way, Captain.
We're not walking.
Pish tosh. No, around here we ride in style. Hop on. Sit up front with me. Sandy, you seated back there?
I'm on.
Then we're off.
Oh, there's my doctor friend up ahead. Can we pull over? Do you mind?
Not at all. My bumper sticker reads, I break for antique collectors.
All right, buddy. Pull over.
Waverly, there you are. How did you get a ride?
Hi, Uncle Alex.
Oh, hello, Sandy. Oh, I see. That's how.
Alex, this is Mr. Helms Kriegel. Helms, this is my good friend, Dr. Alexander Schofield.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Kriegel, is it?
That's right, but Helms is fine. Just plain Helms.
Well, you've got the helm, so you must be.
Would you like to come with us? Helms, would it be all right if he joined us?
Certainly. The more the merrier. Be my guest.
Come on, Uncle Alex. Hop on.
Well, I never turn down a ride, especially from a pretty girl.
I expect that from him, not you.
Well, he's a bad influence. Where are we going? Oh, Waverly, I forgot to tell you, and Sandy, and Helms. Guess what?
What?
What's that?
I am going to be on the Antiques Roadshow.
You're kidding.
No kidding.
Congratulations.
As an antique?
No, as the owner of one. I met the appraiser. Her name is Agnes Musgrave. She liked my gold insignia ring very much, and she scheduled me for a taping in about an hour and a half.
Great.
Wonderful, Uncle Alec.
Where's the ring? I don't see it on.
Oh, I never wear it. It's in my pocket in my ring box.
Uh-oh. What was that?
Sounded like a ceramic vase.
I'd better go investigate. I'll drop you.
Wait, won't that cause you to miss the show?
I have to go.
Let me call first, Mr. Kriegel. You may not have to. Joyce, Sandy, we heard. All right, let me speak to Brady.
Won't the insurance cover this?
It will. Unfortunately, I am the insurance company.
Oh, I see.
I hope this won't cause you to miss the Yahtzee brothers the way you've been talking them up to me.
The Yahtzee brothers?
Yes. Sandy and Helms are taking us to watch them do their taping.
I feel bad for you, Helms. And I feel bad for the poor person who owned that antique. Think of having your precious heirloom turn worthless just as you're discovering its true worth. Oh, for everybody's sake, let's hope it wasn't too priceless.
That's a common error.
What?
Things cannot be too priceless.
Oh, you mean in terms of how high they can go?
No, I mean something either is or it isn't. If something is priceless, it has no price. Anything else has one. It just hasn't been arrived at yet.
I like this man's style.
I can see why you would, another nitpicker.
Captain, coming from you, that is a high compliment. Here we are.
Brady, what happened? I see. A vase.
Then we guessed right.
Not valuable.
Oh, good.
That's a relief.
Excellent.
Well, now you can stay.
Now I can stay. Let me just part this.
Yep.
Captain, I was thinking, perhaps it was the ceramic odor that Augie Nicholswipe abused.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Let's go in. I'll introduce you to the Yahtzees. Great, spirited lads. You'll enjoy them. Identical twins, you know.
It would be hard not to notice.
In medicine, they're referred to as monozygotic twins.
Ah, yes. You're a doctor. OB?
No.
Right this way. Earl?
It's Errol. Hi, Mr. Kriegel.
Errol. I meant Errol. Errol, I have someone for you to meet. This is Captain Waverly Underhill, and this is his friend...
Alexander Schofield.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
Same.
No doubt, Errol, you've heard of our great detective.
Helms, please.
No, I haven't.
Police Captain Waverly Underhill?
No, sorry, no offense.
None taken.
I thought you would have.
No. Hope you're not offended.
Why should I be?
That's right. Isn't it said ignorance of the law is no offense?
I think they mean defense, but anyway, I'm not the law anymore. I'm retired.
And I'm from New York. That's my excuse. The only Waverly I'm familiar with is the movie theater in Greenwich Village.
I know it.
Well, I assure you, the name Waverly Underhill is well known throughout New England and across the country.
I have no reason to doubt you. That's one thing you learn very quickly here at the Roadshow.
What's that?
There are circles to knowledge. A person may be learned in one subject, but profoundly dumb in another.
Spoken like a true detective.
I am. We are. That is my brother and I. We like to think of ourselves as detectives. Detectives of furniture.
I can see that, yes.
Hello, Mr. Kriegel.
Hello, Errol. Earl. How are you? What are you up to?
Just getting the cushion someone was supposed to fetch me.
Oops, sorry.
Our fault. We waylaid him.
That's all right. I needed a few other tools, too.
Oh?
Earl is working under the hood on this one. He's uncovered an anomaly.
What sort of anomaly?
Not quite uncovered yet.
Oh, hi, Sandy.
Hello, Earl.
Hi,
what
Sandy.
What sort of anomaly?
Beautiful, isn't it?
I'll say. Tell me it's not a reproduction.
No, it's the real thing, I assure you. No question about it. It's just got that feel, you know? pure elegance. It just speaks to you. Oh, excuse me, here I am ignoring the owner. This is... I'm sorry, I have already forgotten your,
Greta Kunerva, how do you do?
I'm Sandy Linehan, nice to meet
you. Ms. Linehan is a producer of The Road Show.
Thank you for allowing us to see this, Mrs. Kunerva.
Oh, yeah.
This is Helms Kriegel, who sponsors The Road Show.
Mr. Kriegel.
Oh, Helms, please. It's a very handsome piece, madam. Thank you for allowing us to include it.
Oh, call me Greta.
A terrific piece, really. I can't wait to talk about it on camera.
When will you be getting started?
As soon as Earl finishes his detective work.
Oh? Detective work?
I was about to explain to these gentlemen. Earl is checking out a couple of anomalies he's uncovered.
So you said. What sort of anomalies?
Two extraneous partitions, it looks like.
Oh? Where?
One on each side, in between the underliner of the sliding top drawers and the cupboard space beneath them.
What were they added for? Extra strength?
It's a different wood, all right. Not mahogany like the rest of the cabinet. Not poplar or pine like you'd expect. It looks like oak. About the same age as the cabinet. Never finished, rough hewn, never sanded, definitely inserted post-manufacture.
What were they added for?
Secret compartment would be my guess.
I didn't want to say that out loud just yet.
Didn't want to jinx it?
It's good not to get people's expectations up. We do stumble upon secret compartments fairly often in the furniture business. Usually when we do, they're cleaned out, so it's almost always a disappointment, like opening Al Capone's vault.
No nail heads, no glue marks. It appears to be just wedged in place. I think if I can slip the thinnest pry bar back here and gain enough purchase, I might be able to pry it down from this end if the wood's not too swollen. Otherwise, we'll have to cook it.
Cook it?
We'll try this.
Gentle, be gentle.
You say that. Have I ever let you down?
But
don't
to
answer.
Cook it?
He means dehumidify it. Draw the moisture out, just enough to loosen the glue joints.
Well, what sort of things do you find hidden in them?
Oh, everything. A wide gamut.
Oh, like what? Family valuables?
Yes, often, especially jewelry, silver, and coins, but also sentimental things. Love letters, photographs, medals, babies' teeth, naked pictures, anything you can think of that people wanted to keep secret or well hidden.
Contraband?
Yes, sometimes that, especially if the furniture has been to sea. A ship captain's writing table or a sea captain's bureau is apt to have smuggling compartments.
Time capsules? Do you find them?
Oh, from time to time. Of course, when the cash is old, they're always time capsules anyway, intended or not.
You see, Captain, this is another example of why the roadshow is so exciting, so full of the unexpected. Every examined object gives us a glimpse into the storied past. That's the roadshow for you. It is history, archaeology, and human nature all rolled into one.
Well said.
Mr. Kriegel's got it bad.
Oh, what's that?
I know what he's referring to. Antiquing fever.
It's a bug. Once you catch it, you're sunk. There's no cure. My brother and I well know.
I'm beginning to feel it myself.
Don't be developing any more bad habits that you can't afford.
Joyce? Sandy, are we recording this? Good. Keep it rolling.
Earl, how's it going? Can I help in some way?
No thanks. I'm getting it, I think. It's... There. That's partially opened it anyway. Ouch! Earl, help me. Something hard rolled under my back. Get it, Kent. Can you? I don't want to lie on it again.
Got it. Here it is.
What is
Hey, guess what? Remember I thought I heard a rattle when they were bringing it in? Here's what it was.
I can't
what
see.
What did you find?
What?
I can't see.
Here, let's let Mrs. Kunerva see it first. It belongs to her. Close your eyes, hold out your hand.
Goodness, it's so heavy. Oh, my, so beautiful.
I still can't see.
Oh, it's a beautiful gold bug.
A gold bug?
Real gems?
I'm afraid not. I wish they were. They're paste, I'm afraid.
Paste?
Glass. Costume jewelry, sorry.
Oh, they look so real. Here, Mr. Kriegel, would you like to look?
My, a very handsome brooch. Hefty.
Can we pass that around?
Fine, but do not drop.
Sandy?
It is heavy. How could you wear something like this? Pretty gems, though. Rubies, emeralds. You sure they're not the real thing?
Pretty sure.
Sandy, may I say?
Here, Uncle Alex.
Heavy. My, it is heavy. Looks like real gold, though. Gems, too. Are you sure it's fake?
Not fake, faux. The gold is probably real, the gems not.
Here, Waverly.
Thank you.
It may be worth several hundred, I'm guessing, but not the thousands it would be if those were real rubies and emeralds.
I've got a magnifying glass on my watch, Bob. Mrs. Ginnerva, do you mind if I...
Not at all.
We should have an appraiser look at it.
Definitely.
Well, how much is it worth?
That's why we need an appraiser.
I'll see if Agnes Musgrave is available.
Brady?
It has a sharp pin. I'm glad your brother didn't get stuck when he lay on it.
I'd say, ouch. Maybe he was.
Well, if he was, he should get a tetanus shot.
I don't think he was, actually.
Maybe it's the antiquing bug, and it bit him.
This brooch has a maker's stamp.
Well, what does it say?
It says Paris.
That's something.
It's also inscribed.
No kidding, really, where?
Across the back of the stick pin.
Oh. What does it say?
Yes, what does it say?
I don't know. The letters are so tiny, I can barely make them out, even with this magnifying glass. It says, to Sissy, love eternal, E.P. Yes, to Sissy, love eternal, E.P.
I'm using the peering snake to look up inside here. There's more stuff in here. I think I can reach it. Hand me the accordion forceps.
Sounds like an operation, doesn't it, Mr. Krieger?
Helms. Yes, it does.
A thin book or pamphlet appears to have an envelope sticking out of it. There, I've got it. Errol, are you gloved?
Yes, Earl, I'm gloved.
Here.
Got it.
There's more in here, but the peering scope's batteries are giving out. I need...
Mr. Kriegel, put on a pair of those white gloves. You can assist me.
Right.
Unless, Mrs. Ginnerva, you'd like to?
Oh, no, thank you for offering. Let Mr. Kriegel do it.
It's Helms. You're very kind. Okay, they're on.
Hold the book. I'll slide out the envelope.
What sort of book?
It appears to be a book of poems. Tamerlane and Other Poems is the title.
Tamerlane? That's familiar.
Who is it by?
Doesn't give the author. By a Bostonian is all it says.
A Bostonian? Tamerlane? Tamerlane? I should know who wrote that. Who else reads poetry here? Come on, doesn't anybody? Sandy?
Don't recall. Uncle Waverly?
Not my strong point.
Who was the Bostonian poet who wrote Tamerlane?
Errol, Sandy, what are you two finding in the envelope?
A letter.
A handwritten letter.
Is there a date?
Yes.
August 5th, but no year.
It says, to my own dearest Muddy, what can be the reason that you have not written to me? Here I have been a whole fortnight and not one line from you yet. I did not think you would treat your poor Eddie in such a way as that. It goes on. It's signed, Your Own Eddie.
Eddie. So the E probably stands for Eddie. Therefore, Eddie P.
Probably short for Edward.
A poet named Edward, who lived in Boston.
Wait a minute. Not Edward, but how about Edgar? Alex, the author who wrote Tamerlane, could it be Edgar Allan Poe?
Yes, that's who it was. That's who I was trying to think of. He wrote it.
No.
Couldn't be. Could it?
Why not?
Poe wasn't Bostonian, was he?
Well, that's right, he wasn't.
We need another expert.
Sandy?
Hold on, Uncle Alex. I've got to let Peter know about this. Hi, Peter. It's Sandy. Are you free? Can you get down to the LOB right away? I think we've stumbled onto something big. Maybe as big as the Seymour Pier table.
The Seymour Pier table?
She's referring to a drop-leaf table that once showed up at the roadshow. Owner had purchased it for $25 at a yard sale. It sold for $540,000 at auction.
Hey, Eureka! That's it! I'm going to start going to yard sales!
Well, don't take up any bad habits that you can't support.
No, watch. I only threaten to. You do.
This is what makes antiquing so thrilling, I tell you.
Excuse me. I overheard someone say you're looking for an expert on Poe.
Yes, we are. Are you one?
No, I'm not, but my husband is. He's a professor. He teaches a course on him at Columbia.
Oh, excellent. Did he come with you? Is he here at the roadshow?
He's here, yes. Shall I go get him?
Yes, yes, please do. Right away, that would be great.
I'll go get him right now.
Thank you. Terrific.
Joyce, Sandy, I think we've found our Poe expert, but we still need a good book appraiser down here. Find Kenneth Gloss or Thirsk Favier.
See if one of them's available. Here comes another envelope. This one was stuck to the wood by the sealing wax that's on the outside. Can you take it?
Got it.
What's he got?
Another envelope.
Shall I handle it? I've still got gloves.
No, better let me. This looks like a newspaper clipping. It looks brittle. In fact, I don't think I'd better try unfolding it either. I'll just read what's visible. New York Tribune, Evening Edition.
What's the date?
The date is October 9th, 1849. A eulogy by Rufus Griswold. It begins, Edgar Allan Poe is dead. He died in Baltimore the day before yesterday.
Then it is Poe.
The announcement will startle many, but few will be grieved by it. The poet was well known personally or by reputation in all this country, but he had few or no friends.
Listen to that.
Fantastic.
Oh, my.
The regrets for his death will be suggested principally by the consideration that in him literary art lost one of its most brilliant but erratic stars. That's all I can read without unfolding.
That's a pretty outrageous way to begin a eulogy.
There's also a handwritten note and a shaky scrawl. It says, Mr. Griswold was an enemy to my Eddie. Signed, Maria Clem.
Who was Maria Clem?
We're about to find out.
I've got him. This is my husband.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day. My wife informs me you're in need of an expert on Poe. I am Yuri Krippenkov, humbly at your service.
How well do you know him?
Not personally, of course, but about as well as anybody could know him who hadn't met him in the flesh. He's one of the authors I teach in my 19th century American literature class at Columbia.
Perfect. Wonderful.
Professor, you're certain to be excited about what they've just uncovered. Come, see.
Hi, I'm Errol Yatz.
Yuri Krippenkov. Of course, I recognize you and your brother, Mr. Yahtzee. And I recognize you, too. Aren't you Captain Underhill, the police captain?
You're absolutely right. This is Captain Underhill.
How nice to meet you. I've followed your career for years.
Ah, Arrow. See, what did I tell you?
I never doubted you.
Professor, we're all anxious to find out. Who was Maria Clem?
Maria Clem? Poe's Maria Clem? She was his aunt, as well as his mother-in-law.
Who was Muddy?
Same person, Maria Clem.
We found a letter addressed to my own dearest Muddy from your own Eddie.
You're kidding. Let me see. Yes, this looks like Poe's handwriting. It sounds like him as well. Any other letters? What about the Sissy? Anything from her?
We're still excavating.
Who was Sissy? His sister?
No, his wife. That was nickname Poe gave her. She also was his first cousin. It would be great if you had something from her.
Why?
Because nothing of her exists. No photos, no letters, no journals, nothing. History has only the vaguest notion of who she was or even what she looked like, but you said you didn't.
Not so far.
What have you got, then? What did you find?
This brooch, for one thing. I am wearing
it. Oh, my goodness, how extraordinary.
There's an inscription on the back. It says, To Sissy, Eternal Love, followed by Poe's initials.
Professor, I thought the Poes were poor.
They were, frequently destitute.
Oh, then how could they afford such a fancy piece of jewelry?
It's costume.
Even so, you said it's real gold.
True.
Well, a brooch like that has got to be worth something. I'd pay a goodly amount for it.
It's worth plenty. I can tell you that from over here.
Who is this?
Her name's Agnes Musgrave.
The jewelry appraiser who's going to be interviewing me later.
Hello again, Dr. Schofield. Hi, Sandy.
Agnes, thanks for coming down so quickly.
May I take a closer look? Madam, would you remove it, please?
Oh, yeah. Here you are, Miss Musgrave.
Yes, I've seen these before. That is, I've come across a few. They are moderately rare.
What is it?
It's a Tiffany.
A Tiffany?
Oh, my.
Louis Comfort Tiffany, the glassmaker?
Oh, no, this would be Charles, his father.
The one who started the jewelry store in Manhattan.
Correct.
I didn't think Tiffany's made costume jewelry.
Well, they never did. However, during their first 2 years as a stationery and fancy goods shop, they did, for a time, sell a line of paste jewelry made in Paris called Palais Royal. Yes, and this has that stamp. The line included a spider, a cricket, a butterfly, a grasshopper, and a beetle.
My God, something just occurred to me.
What?
Something just hit me, and it's been staring me in the face the whole time.
What is it?
What? The brooch. It's a gold bug.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
Edgar Allan Poe wrote a short story,
The Gold Bug.
His most popular tale, it was one of his detective stories about mysterious beetle that looks as if it's made out of pure gold. It bites people and turns them sick. A rather queer story, full of puzzles and anagrams. People loved it at the time.
Ouch! This brute just stuck me.
Agnes.
Very funny. Uh-huh.
Just kidding.
Then, could this be the gold bug that inspired Poe to write his story?
Could be.
I don't see why not.
Not with this inscription. I'd imagine the other way around.
What do you mean?
Professor, you say his story, The Gold Bug, was Poe's most popular tale.
That's right.
How do you mean?
Well, it appeared in great many magazines. It earned him a tidy sum.
Exactly. That's the point. Poe had reaped a windfall. You've told us they were frequently destitute. It's easy enough to picture him as a struggling writer. He suddenly comes across a lot of money, probably for the first time in his life, and it's burning a hole in his pocket. He's inspired to memorialize the occasion, so he buys his wife this keepsake and has it engraved.
And uses more of his windfall to buy his own dearest Muddy this exceptional sideboard?
Yes, quite possible. Professor, when did Poe write The Gold Bug?
Let me think. His story, Purloined Letter, came after that. It was 1844, 2 years before that. So it would have been 1842.
1842.
That was when Tiffany sold these bugs, from 1842 to 1845.
It also fits with when these sideboards were manufactured, between 1830 and 1840.
Where were the Poes living then? New York City?
No, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
That's where these sideboards were made, in Philadelphia.
Perhaps Poe took a trip to New York City. Couldn't he have gotten the bug there on a trip?
Gotten the bug, get it?
Yes, I got it, I get it. But she's onto something.
Professor, do we know if Poe visited Manhattan that year?
Let me think. Yes, in fact, he did. It was 1842. He went seeking employment, hoping to get a new collection of tales published. What month would that have been? June.
After the story appeared?
Yes, after it appeared.
Then that supports our theory. Poe bought his Aunt Muddy, this credenza, and his eternally betrothed Sissy...
Virginia.
What?
Her real name was Virginia.
His wife, Virginia, then, this brooch. Neither gift either lady could ever bear to part with, regardless of how desperate their situation.
Sounds perfect.
Sounds Victorian.
Sounds romantic.
Here comes Errol. Earl, here comes Earl.
Hello, Mr. Kriegel, Sandy, everyone.
Earl, isn't this fantastic?
It certainly is. We don't get these every day. Excuse me. Errol, I've looked over the second partition. Mm-hmm. Same situation. Board is wedged in tight. Mm-hmm. No nail heads, no glue marks, but hammer dents on the face of it suggest it was pounded in place. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Gnerva, do I still have your permission?
Do whatever you have to.
As long as we have your permission.
You are the experts. Do whatever you have to
do. What are you going to try?
Roughly the same approach, but I need your help. Mm-hmm. I want you to insert this spreader brace and ratchet outwards while I apply pressure in the back.
Right.
Go slow and don't force it.
I'm not going to force it.
Brothers.
What will I find next?
We all are filled with anticipation.
Oh, I know
so
I am.
Excited, too. The last was like opening an oyster and having a perfect pearl fall out. This beautiful brooch.
A very significant literary oyster, I might
add. I wonder what will be next.
Perhaps a telltale heart under the floorboard.
Yes, Professor, perhaps so. Tell us, if you had your way, what would you like them to find?
You know, there was an old trunk that belonged to the author that disappeared shortly after his death. Eventually it was recovered, but not necessarily with all its contents intact. I'd like any of those missing contents. If I could choose, I would pick a manuscript.
Published or unpublished?
I wouldn't be picky. Or maybe a scrapbook or a whole slew of photographs. I could wish for that.
There he is. Thirsk, over here. Good, now we've got our book expert. Thanks for coming so quickly. Everybody, this is Thirsk Favier, bibliopole extraordinaire.
Hello, Thirsk. How do you do? Hello, everyone.
A bibliopole?
Collector of rare books, Uncle Alex.
A bibliotaph is more like it.
Oh, what's that?
One who hoards them. You should see the inside of my apartment. Sandy, you said you had something to show me?
Helms, you've still got gloves on. Would you show it to him?
We found this.
What is it? Oh, my.
What is that? Oh. You did not show me that.
Sorry, Professor.
Tamerlane and Other Poems by a Bostonian. Where did you get this?
Out of there. Out of a secret compartment.
Amazing. Do you know what you've got here? Do you know what this is? This is simply the rarest book in America. This is Poe's first self-published book of poems, Tamerlane and Other Poems. Why, it's worth a great deal of money. There are only 12 of these in existence.
How much?
The last one sold at auction for $198,000.
Oh,
goodness. I am going to faint. He must be joking. You are joking.
I'm not joking, and that was in 1988. Someone found it in the bookstore in New Hampshire and purchased it for $15.
Ooh.
This is amazing. This is quite a find.
Shall I try pounding?
Okay, try. Gently.
You always say that, too.
Keep it up. That's helping. It's starting to fun.
Did this piece of furniture belong to Poe?
Well, I believe it did.
We're not sure, but we think so.
We're speculating that it belonged to his aunt, Maria Clem.
She put the objects in there?
Most likely. Certainly Poe didn't.
Oh, why didn't he?
It contains his obituary.
Oh, right. Then he very well couldn't, could he? What about Sissy doing it?
She died before Poe. She predeceased them both.
So the same problem with the obituary. No, it had to be Muddy.
Aunt Muddy.
Ah, yes, that's right. I remember now, Poe had that devoted aunt with the unusual nickname, Muddy.
Why do you suppose she got that one, Helms? We were talking about nicknames earlier.
Perhaps she stuck to him, like mud.
Could be. Mud sticks. Loyalty and devotion. Stick. Yes, makes sense.
Then this really is a time capsule. One intended to teach us about the real Poe.
Quite a poignant picture it paints, too. Aunt Muddy speaking from grave, appealing to posterity, trying to clean the muddy off her dear Eddie's image.
And succeeding. She just succeeded.
Honey, here, I brought you your biography of Poe. I thought you might be needing it.
Oh, excellent, Mary. It very well might come in handy. Thank you, dear.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah. What happened?
Hey, man, a false bottom gave way. I can tell you this, whatever's on this side weighs a lot more than the other side, and it's lying on me.
You all right?
I'm all right. I think the safest way is for me to do like we were doing and hand you things that I take out from his end.
Ready?
This is Sandy. Yeah, Joyce, I'll tell them. People, don't crowd in. You're blocking the camera's view. Uncle Alex, Don't lean in.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was out of
it. Here's the first thing. It's very light.
What is it?
Another envelope. Inside, a lock of hair tied with a purple ribbon.
Pose?
It's light brown.
Pose was black, wasn't it?
Yes, jet black. Hold on a moment. I'm looking up something. Virginia Clem. Page 82. Ah, here's what it says about her in Silverman biography. Virginia, this is Sissy we're talking about. Virginia was later described as having violet eyes, dark brown hair, and a bad complexion.
Light brown.
Must be hers.
Or could it be Muddy's?
Could be.
Except a mother would be more inclined to include her daughter's lock rather than her own.
Here's more.
I agree.
Ready? Better take it with both hands. I've got it.
What is it this time?
What is it?
A rolled up braided rug.
Is there something in it? There appears to be something in it.
I think so. I think I can feel something inside. Clear that table. Let me lay this down and we'll unroll it.
Careful, careful. Now, whatever's in there is at least 150 years old. Careful now. Whatever's in there is at least 150 years old.
Now move that, please. I'll set it down. Thanks.
Unroll it. Hurry.
Careful. Oh, dear. Oh, my. That is gruesome.
Ugh, that is gross.
Pretty disgusting.
What is it?
A
dead
cat. What is it?
A what?
It's a dead cat.
A what?
Yeah. A dead cat.
Not mummified. Just desiccated. Dried up.
How macabre.
Look how pole-like.
It's just a plain old domestic tabby, it looks like.
Wait, didn't Poe write a story?
It's a black cat, but...
This cat was never black. Calico.
Katerina.
What? Oh.
Katerina. Just a minute. Just wait one moment.
Who is Katerina? What is he saying?
Poe had a pet cat named Katerina. She used to sit on his shoulder while he wrote. Here, listen. Listen to this. Here's what it says. On page 438, this is about Muddy moving after Poe's death. Muddy packed up her family's belonging at Fordham, finding Katerina, Poe's cat, dead when she returned to the cottage for last load of boxes.
There you go. There's your answer. A+, Professor. You just solved it.
Thank you very much.
You've just pinpointed when this time capsule was laid.
I think we are down to the last thing in here. It's big. It seems to be taking up the rest of the space. Seems to be made of material, too. A dark woven material.
Another rug.
No, it has a handle on it, a valise or a carpet bag or something. I can reach it with the forceps.
Careful.
Okay, I got it. Here it comes.
Careful.
Errol, can you take it? Here. Got it?
Got it.
What do you think is in there?
I don't know. It feels heavy enough. Maybe a manuscript.
So, who's going to open it?
Mrs. Gnerva, it belongs to you. You should do it.
No, Mr. Kriegel, go ahead. You have the gloves.
You honor me again. I won't argue because I know the cameras.
Let's wait for Earl. He deserves to be in on it.
Yes. Yes, let's wait for Earl. Let's let him do it. After all, he went to all the work.
Here I am. You haven't opened it yet?
We're waiting for you.
Earl, we want you to do it.
Oh, yes. After all, you suffered the injury.
No. Go ahead. Thank you. I'll watch.
Oh, how is your head? Have you a bump?
A little one. I'm fine. I'll mend. As long as your sideboard wasn't damaged, that's the important thing.
Well, all set then? camera's rolling?
We've been rolling.
Oh, good. Very well. I will undo the clasp. It appears to be stuck. Rusted, perhaps. Corroded. Whatever, it's not cooperating.
Why don't you let one of the boys try?
Yes, Yahtzee Brothers. Yahtzee Brothers to the rescue. You're better at this than me.
That's right, to the rescue. I'm Earl.
And I'm Errol.
We're the Yahtzee Twins.
Let me get out of your way.
Is this an important find, dear?
Yes, I should say. Just how important we'll know soon, but yes, it already is. I'm still hoping for manuscripts.
More jewelry. That would be nice.
I'm going to say journals, Sissy's diary, and a scrapbook full of pictures.
Excuse me, what exactly have they found?
What? Oh. Several things. A book of poetry, his first, very valuable. A handwritten letter by Poe himself. A gold bug brooch from Tiffany's. A lock of hair.
Whose? Tiffany's?
No, his wife. Sissy.
Oi, mate, are you calling me Sissy?
No, that was his wife's name. Please, can you just be quiet? I'm trying to watch this.
Sorry, bloke.
Did you just call me a sorry bloke?
No, I said sorry. Touchy.
I happen to know who you are, nickel swipe. Augie Nickel-Swipe. Isn't that you?
It's Nickels-White. And who told you that?
Augie Nickel-Swipe. Waverly, look. Can you believe it? Nickel-Swipe, what are you doing here?
It's Nickels-White and none of your business.
Well, I'm making it my business.
Alex, not now. Not now.
Uncle Alex, what are you doing? You're spoiling the taping. We're filming this. Can't this wait until later? We're trying to find out what's in the valise.
She's right, Alex.
Waverly, what's he doing out of...
Not now.
But...
Later.
Oh, this is crazy. I won't be in the same room with that lowlife.
Then leave.
Me? Leave? I'm not going.
Yes, Alex, go.
I should go?
If you can't control your temper, yes.
Well, I'm not leaving, and nobody's forcing me. As long as that monkey's jackass is staying, I'm staying.
Ooh, la, sticks and stones, mate. Same to you.
Same to you.
Uncle Alex.
Alex.
But I will be quiet for now.
All right, people, back up, please. Don't stand in front of the cameras. Let's get back to what we were doing. Augustine, back to your station.
I'm on my free break. This is my own time.
Ta-da, got it. See, I told you he'd get it.
Mrs. Ginnerva?
No, I said let Mr. Kriegel open it.
Thank you, Greta. I won't argue because I know the cameras are running and we don't want to use up too much tape. We're all anxious to see what's in here. It appears to be... It looks like... Well, I'm afraid to tell you, it's another dead animal.
Another dead animal?
Yes, a bird this time, in better shape than the cat. This one's been stuffed and mounted, it looks like.
What kind of bird? A crow, a stuffed crow.
Well, maybe it's Edgar Allan Crow.
Edgar Allan Crow. That's good. That's funny.
Ha, ha, ha. Funny.
You shut up.
You shut up.
Oh, you shut
Don't
up.
Don't bait him. Up.
Both of you, if you can't be civil, then leave. Now, come on now. Where's your roadshow spirit?
Listen to her, Alex.
Lighten up.
Shall I lift it out?
Yes, lift it out. The cameras want to see. We all do as well.
There it is.
Stand it up.
Oh, my goodness.
It's in pretty good shape, considering.
Very good
not
shape.
Not bad for 150 years old.
You're right. It's not bad for 150.
That's because it's been kept out of sunlight.
Excuse me, everyone, but that's no crow. That's a raven.
A raven?
I was about to say.
Are you sure?
I'm certainly no ornithologist, but yes.
He's right. How can you tell?
Well, size, for one thing. Look how big it is. Look at his beak. It's extra thick. Its feet are extra large.
Right.
And notice the slope of its head and the beak. Not rounded like a crow's. Yes, it's a raven, all right. Professor, you agree? What are you thinking?
What am I thinking? What am I wondering? Could this be the raven?
The raven? Was there?
Sure. Once upon a midnight dreary...
No. I realized the poem, but was there an actual raven?
Apparently so.
Fantastic.
I agree.
Utterly fantastic.
I'm afraid that's all. Nothing else in the grip.
Oh, I am so sorry you didn't get your manuscript.
And you, your jewelry. But in a way, Mrs. Gunnera, this is much better. Think of what a stupendous discovery this is. I have to change my lectures.
Madam, my name is Augustine Nicholsworth. I own a reputable antique shop on the Cape. I detest haggling, so for a limited time, I will make you the most incredible offer imaginable. I will pay you $250,000 for your sideboard and all its contents.
Oh, $250,000?
Shh, please. Keep our voices down.
What's he doing over
there? Where'd you get that kind of money, Augie? Prison pay?
Excuse me?
The book alone is worth $200,000.
And the rest another $50,000. That is what I'm offering. Now, if you'll excuse me, you're intruding on the business...
Madam, I warn you for your own sake... have nothing to do with this man.
Get away.
He's a con man and a swindler.
I most certainly am not.
And an attempted murderer.
Attempted what?
Alex.
Go ahead. Deny it. He would have succeeded, too, if it wasn't for this man, Captain Underhill.
Alex.
A harmless prank. You took it wrong.
Oh, did I? Well, take this.
Alex.
You saw it. This man hit me.
Oh, heathen. What is going on?
Alex, this is not the way. Let him go.
Go ahead, hit me again. I've got witnesses. Cameras, too. They're all recording this.
Alex, let him go.
Then tell him to leave.
Nicholas White, get back to your station.
Mrs. Gunnera, I'll repeat the offer one last time, and then I am not going to stand here and tolerate this kind of abuse. Accept my bona fide offer, $250,000. Do you accept or not?
Don't accept.
Sir, I must insist. Stop intruding.
Do not pretend you don't know me, Augie. Mrs. Gunnera, he's trying to make you do something you'll regret later. You'll wish you hadn't. I advise you to wait.
Certainly, madam, you are free to do that, if that is your desire. But then be prepared to assume all the risk and all the bother. All the things that can go wrong, all the expenses, insurance fees, appraisal fees, storage fees. Dispose of it now. There'll be no expenses, no commissions to pay. You'll be receiving top dollar, and the money will be safely tucked into your bank account by this afternoon.
$250,000, you say?
Yes.
If he's offering you that much, it must be worth a lot more. He's a shyster.
Stand to me one more time, sir, and I will see you in court.
The only time you see me in court is when I'm putting you behind bars.
Madam, will you please ignore these crude rudites and kindly respond to my offer?
That's an awful lot of money.
She's going to go through with it. Quick, somebody talk her out of it.
I'll try. Madam, I'm an English professor. I can assure you these items, they represent the most important find. In fact, very important. Like a King Tut's tomb, like a manuscript of Shakespeare. They are part of our national heritage.
Professor, may I speak with you privately?
Yes.
This man is offering me all that. What, for a dead cat, a stuffed bird, a lock of hair, and a bunch of old papers? I'm just afraid he'll change it.
Mrs. Gunnera, it was a big tragic mistake.
$250,000 is a godsend. That's a pension right there, and I don't have one. Now, please, do as I ask.
Yeah, she's coming back. She's going to accept. We need somebody. All right. Me.
What? Waverly, what are you doing?
I'm going to bid.
Don't be ridiculous.
Mrs. Gunnera, may I ask you for one favor before you say yes to his offer?
What is it?
10 minutes. Just wait 10 minutes.
10 minutes for what?
For me to come back with a better offer. 10 minutes won't matter. It's just like saying yes right now. It'll be worth your while to wait, I assure you.
Sandy, can they hold an auction like this right in the middle of things?
Who's to stop it?
10 minutes, all right?
Augie, get back to your station.
So I'm Augie to you, too. Next I'll be...
Get back to your station.
Back her off! I'm tired of people telling me what to do.
Please, just 10.
No, I cannot wait 10.
Please!
But I will wait 5.
All right, 5. 5 will have to do. 5 it is, then.
That's all. No more.
Thank you.
Don't be ridiculous, Waverly. You're on a pension yourself.
And don't get excited, Alex. Just
Just let's see where we stand. Sandy, your appraisers. Are they all still here?
I am.
We are.
We are.
I'm not going anywhere.
Can we all huddle a minute? Augie, this is a private conversation.
Fine. Don't include me if you don't want to.
We don't.
Well, that's up to you.
I need from you, gentlemen, some quick thumbnail appraisals. Let's go in order. Agnes Musgrave, the brooch. The brooch. How much on the auction block?
Costume, Tiffany? Normally 800 or 900. But with Poe's initials, ups it considerably.
By how much?
Hard to say.
Give me a ballpark.
Well, anywhere from 10 to 100 times more.
All right. You said 8 to 9. I'll take the middle. Say 850. So it could be worth 10 to 100 times that. 8,500 or 85,000, right?
Right.
Mr. Favier, the book of poems.
And as I said, the last one fetched $198,000 in 1988.
Quickly.
I'd probably say 240 to 250,000, somewhere in there.
And the Dearest Muddy letter.
Oh, I'm not an expert on holographs.
Well, take a guess.
Well, 30,000.
Okay, 30,000. What about the note?
Muddy's handwritten note, another 500.
The newspaper clippings.
Negligible, 100 or so.
And the lock of hair?
Well, we don't know whose it is, but if it was Poe's, it would be worth considerably more. But if Mrs. Poe's, well, it's probably...
Will you hurry up?
500.
Now, what about the cat?
A dead cat? Normally nothing. Poe's dead cat? Now, that's something else. I could imagine it being quite valuable.
I agree wholeheartedly. Think what some clever restaurateur might be willing to pay to have that as its featured attraction. Picture, the Black Cat Restaurant. Come in and see Poe's mummified cat. I'd say $50,000.
I concur.
I see. And the raven?
Well, the same reasoning. What might a restaurant, or say a drinking establishment, be willing to pay to have Poe's authentic raven as a centerpiece over its bar?
I agree again. Considering the prominent place this bird holds in American literature, it could well be the most expensive item in the group.
$100,000?
Yes, to the right buyer, yes.
Now the sideboard. The Yahtzee Brothers, a rough estimate. Hurry.
Okay, ordinarily, these go for about $3,000 to $4,000. Again, it all has to do with who owned it.
What great provenance.
About as good as you could ask.
I need a figure.
Errol, I think I'd say 10 to 20 times its normal asking price.
About that.
So, somewhere between $40,000 and $80,000?
I'd go along.
That's right.
Is that everything?
I think so.
Did I leave anything out?
That's everything.
Tally it up. What am I up to?
You're at $597,000.
Wow,
$600,000.
Waverly, you can't possibly afford that.
But Augie's offering only $250,000. I'll get it back.
Easily.
I agree.
And consider the fact that we're talking about Edgar Allan Poe here. If it were any other American writer of that era, say an Alcott or a Hawthorne or a Melville, well, this wouldn't have nearly the drawing power.
I agree, absolutely.
If it had been Melville, I suppose it would have been a dead whale, not a dead cat.
All right. 5 minutes is up.
We're almost done.
There is something more.
Just 30 seconds more. What is it?
In the antiques world, there is a rule. When you come across an already assembled collection like this, with a terrific storyline running through it, the price of the whole is always greater than the sum of its parts.
He's right. The aggregate value is always worth more than the value of each item priced individually.
How much more?
A 100% markup.
100%?
100%?
You're saying this could all be worth $1,200,000?
I'm afraid so.
Time is up. I have waited. Now, you must make me an offer. I can't refuse.
Greta.
Waverly,
Greta,
don't.
I need just a little more time. Can you possibly just be a little...
No. I can't be patient. I am sorry. You are out of time.
You're out, Underhill. Foul.
$300,000.
Who said that?
$300,000. 20% more than he's offering.
Mr. Kriegel, you wish to buy it.
$305,000.
$310,000.
$315,000.
$325,000.
What happened to 20? All right, 330.
350.
Your increments are too big.
Your bid, Augie?
I know it's my bid. I'm aware of that. 355.
360.
65.
70.
Madam, he is ruining my day and no doubt making yours. Very well. 375.
80.
85.
95.
Stop it! Now, come on, what is this? Adam, if you'll give me until Monday, I will pay you 295.
300, Augie.
I meant 395.
That was the last bid. Going once.
Going twice.
Oh,
going
very twice. Well. 400,000. Satisfied?
410.
Apparently not. This is ridiculous. All that for this junk?
Drop out.
Shut up. Who asked you? All right. If you insist on being extravagantly foolish, 415,000.
25.
Stop leapfrogging.
Drop out.
I have to think.
Going once. Going twice.
All right, all right. 430,000. Going once, going twice.
435.
440.
450.
460.
475.
Why don't you just say any insane amount that popped into your head? You're no gentleman, that's for sure. You're just being vindictive.
500,000.
Wait, Holmes, wait. It's his bid.
No, I am out. I am out! Let him have it then if that's what he wants to pay. The man's a lunatic.
That was your final offer, 500,000?
Actually, my final offer was 475.
Cameraman, zoom in for a close-up.
Oh, well, make it 500. Yes, 500,000. My final offer.
Oh, I accept. I take it.
Oh. Hooray! Hooray for Holmes. Hail, our conquering hero.
Our knight in shining armor.
This is remarkable.
It's positive.
Oh, yes, very remarkable.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys.
More abun than a barrel of monkeys. So you all ganged up on me and won. Big deal. I think you're a bunch of...
A bunch of what, Augie? Sore losers? That's you.
Your break is over now, Augustine. Get back to your station.
I'm going, I'm going. Bunch of bullies.
He means that in the Teddy Roosevelt sense of the word.
Yes, bully. Bully for us.
Get lost, Nickelswipe. Go back to jail.
Now, now, Doctor. Though you physically assaulted me, I harbor no ill feelings. Let me give you a hug.
Hey, get your hands off me.
At least let it be said I tried letting bygones be bygones.
Be gone, Augie.
At least I tried extending the olive branch of forgiveness.
You know what you can do with your olive branch.
Ooh, anger does not become you, Doctor. I am most sensitive to it. Therefore, I bid you adieu and hasten to my exit.
Good riddance.
Let's go.
Watch your blood pressure, Alex.
I can take care of myself, thank you.
Hey, hey, that's just what you're always telling me.
Let's go. Well, Captain, I think we did it.
Yes, we did.
Foiled Augie at his own game.
All thanks to you.
I know that sending him back to jail was what you had in mind, but I think
Captain Underhill. Mr. Kriegel, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Earl.
It's Errol.
Errol.
Captain Underhill, in case I don't get to see you, I just want to say it was a great pleasure meeting you.
Oh, thank you very much. Same here.
It was great fun for me to see a real detective in action.
I'd say the same about you and your brother.
From now on, when I think of Waverly, I won't just be thinking of the theater in Greenwich Village.
And I'll keep looking for you on the Antiques Roadshow.
Helms, I have changed my shoes. I am ready now.
Excellent. Hop on. I'm escorting Miss Mirra to a bank. Gentlemen, can I drop you off? Waverly? Or you, Dr. Schofield?
Call me Alex.
No, no thanks, Helms. I think we'll mosey along on foot.
Well, your choice. All set, Greta?
Ready.
Then it's off we go. Gentlemen, good day to you.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye. So long.
Waverly, congratulations. You did it again.
Yes, Alex, I certainly did.
How was I, Uncle Waverly?
Perfect. Sandy, you were perfect.
Oh, perfect at what?
You too, Alex.
Well, what did I do?
Played your part to perfection.
Part? What part? I wasn't acting.
Exactly. That's why you were so convincing. We're all poured. Everyone's got a glass.
I do.
We all do.
I think we should drink some toast. I'd like to propose one.
No, I insist on going first.
She's right.
Let her go first. And you can't drink, Uncle. This is to my Uncle Waverly, the smartest man on Earth.
Only Earth?
All right, the universe.
Here, here. Hip, hip, hooray!
Hip, hip, hooray!
Waverly, what part? Why are you all smiling?
All right. Who's going to tell him?
Well, how about we take turns confessing?
I agree.
Confessing to what?
One at a time. That's a good idea.
Well, who goes first?
You do, Professor. But first, let's all drink a toast. To Professor Yuri Krippenkopf.
To Yuri Krippenkopf.
You're not supposed to drink to yourself.
I'm not. I didn't.
What do you mean? You just did. I saw you.
I'm not.
I saw you.
I'm drinking to Yuri Krippenkopf.
Professor, your confession.
Thank you all. You're too kind. My confession, Dr. Schofield, my name is not Yuri Krippenkopf.
It's not?
No. It's Roger Hartshorn, and I'm not a professor of anything.
You're not?
All right now, Mary's turn to confess something. She'll go next. Let's drink to Mary Krippenkopf.
To Mary!
Hooray!
Hooray!
I confess that my name is Mary, but it's not Krippenkopf.
Well, what is it?
Well, it's Hartshorn, too, but I'm not his wife. I'm his daughter.
His daughter? Then who's your wife?
Lydia Hartshorn. But right now, I believe she's... Greta Gunnerva.
Greta Gunnerva?
Greta Gunnerva.
I don't get it.
They're a family, Alex. The Hartshorns.
I get that.
Uncle Alex, I better explain.
Oh, somebody please do.
Wait. Let's drink to Sandy. We haven't drunk into her yet.
I agree. The way Sandy handled that vase situation, very impressive. Very police-worthy, just like a cop. She deserves a commendation for that.
What was that?
I'll tell you later. A toast. To Sandy.
To Sandy. Here, here.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Now your confession, Sandy. Now your confession.
Don't tell me your name isn't Sandy Linehan.
No, I'm Sandy Linehan. Look, here's what happened, Uncle Alex. Mary and I have been best friends since college. She has an older sister named Eloise who last year got married, and her parents...
That is, Lydia and I gave them a wedding present, which was the gift of my mother's cottage on Cape Cod. She's 92 and just entered a nursing home. We came down to transfer the title and shockingly found out that my mother had been swindled out of the cottage several years ago in a very unscrupulous manner. I won't go into the details. There was nothing we could do. Mary told Sandy.
And I told Uncle Waverly.
And let me guess, I bet I know who perpetrated the swindle. Our friend, Augie Nickelswipe.
Not Augie, not him.
What?
Augie was in with us.
What?
Couldn't have done it without him.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I need something to hold on to. You're telling me you were in cahoots with Augie?
Well, cahoots is a little strong, Alex. He was assisting us.
Oh, Waverly, it was you who sprung him from jail?
Yes. I know how the system operates. I was able to shave a little time off his sentence in exchange for a favor or two.
Without Augie, I don't think we could have done it. Who would have gotten us our props?
What props?
The Poe paraphernalia.
You mean you planted those things in that credenza?
That's right. Credenza means trust in Italian. Did you know that?
All that stuff about Poe was a lie?
Not a bit of it.
All perfectly true.
Uncle Waverly says the best lies are woven from real threads.
You planted that stuff, intending for it to be found?
Now you're catching on.
But they weren't really real. They were props.
No, they were real. That's just it. They had to be.
Most of them.
Planted, but real.
If they weren't, how else could we fool the appraisers?
They were in on it, too?
No. I just said we had to fool them, too. Bringing them in on it would have required them to violate their oaths as appraisers. This way, they all rendered honest opinions based on the items as presented to them.
Then the gold bug.
Real Tiffany, but engraved by me. I think Poe would have approved.
The Book of Poems?
Genuine. Borrowed from the Poe Museum in Richmond. They don't know it's missing. It'll be back before they do.
and the dearest muddy letter.
We call that the purloined letter. Same thing, on loan from the Fordham Library, New York.
The lock of hair?
Some of Sissy's hair does exist in the Pratt Library in Baltimore. But this one I selected out of the sweepings from a Hyannis hair salon.
Oh,
nice
clever.
Touch, I thought. Don't you think?
Jolly well done.
Here, here. Hip, hip, hooray.
Yes, sip, sip, hooray.
What about the dead cat?
Oh, a brilliant touch. Absolutely brilliant. Lifted straight out of the biography. It was ingenious.
Alex, you'll never believe how many hours I spent searching along roadsides to find just the right dead cat. You know that show, don't you? Antique Roadkills?
Well, I remember you driving around a lot. I thought you were cruising for chicks. What about the raven? Taxidermist?
No. That bird is the genuine article. He is truly a famous raven.
Not as famous as he ought to be, is he, Professor?
Good thing he wasn't, or else our plan couldn't have succeeded.
He was the pièce de résistance, though, worth every effort to acquire him.
Augie's doing?
That stuffed raven we pulled out of the valise, Alex, is the very one that inspired two famous authors, Edgar Allan Poe and Charles Dickens. Let's drink to Grip. Here's to Grip.
To Grip.
Here, here. Grip, Grip, hooray!
Who is Grip?
Oh, get a grip. Lost his grip, didn't he?
No more nevermores coming from him.
Grip found inside a grip.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Not going to be tap, tap, tapping anymore.
This is a dead bird, I tell you. He's not resting, he's expired. He is no more. He has kicked the bucket. He is mort. Monty Python.
Oh, daddy, no. Hilarious.
This is deteriorating rapidly. Somebody, quick, tell me who is Grip.
Grip.
Allow me, Captain. I had to learn all this by heart.
Yes, yes, please do. Fill us in, Professor.
Well, I'm no academic, but here's what I learned.
Well, what are you anyway?
A minister.
A minister?
Yes. So here's the real story. Grip was originally the pet of Charles Dickens. It was given to him by a neighbor when Dickens wanted a raven to study to put in his serialized novel, Barnaby Rudge. When the novel came out in America, Poe wrote a very flattering review of it. In his review, Poe observed that Dickens erred only in having his raven appear as a symbol of whimsy rather than foreboding. And shortly afterwards, Poe went on to write his great narrative poem, The Raven.
I see.
The two men met in Philadelphia in 1842, by the way.
When Grip died, Dickens had him stuffed and put under glass. And then when Dickens passed on, the bird made the rounds of various collectors, finally ending up in the hands of an American, Richard Gimbel of Gimbel's Department Store. He donated it to the Philadelphia Free Public Library, where it resides today, or rather, will tomorrow, when it gets back from its cleaning.
Another toast to our captain.
Hip, 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 hooray!
Wait a minute. Go ahead and drink. But then somebody tell me, if you weren't after Augie, who were you after?
Why, Helms Kriegel, of course.
Helms Kriegel? What for?
Weren't you listening? Sandy already told you. He cheated the Hartshorns out of their wedding cottage.
Oh, he did.
There's another side to him, Uncle Alex.
Not the first public philanthropist to have had shady dealings in private. In fact, sometimes that's what motivates them. Guilt and the need to atone. We've helped him to that end.
Captain, were you beginning to question, like I was, whether Kriegel was ever going to jump in?
I did.
No. From everything Sandy had told me about him, I was completely convinced our subject would fall for our trap if we laid it out properly. And we did. We presented him the opportunity to appear the hero on national television, while at the same time he would believe he was getting a bargain as well. Such a deal he couldn't resist.
And he didn't.
Which is why I'm sure phase two will go equally smoothly.
Well, what's phase two?
Well, that's wherein we inform Kriegel he's bought a pig and a poke.
What will happen?
He'll be furious, naturally, but after he calms down, I predict he'll be just as anxious to have it all covered up for the same reason, so as not to appear the stooge on national television.
You guys are fiendish.
No, Underhill is. Well, he and Augie are.
Professor, you a minister. Is this right what you've done? Stealing things out of museums?
Just borrowing.
Stealing. Swindling someone behind their back.
No, Alex, Kriegel did it behind the back. We did it right in front of him.
And if someone picks your pocket, does that give you the right to pick his
Doctor,
back?
Doctor, as Scripture says, the Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands.
I see it as a dose of his own medicine.
In which case, you're all practicing medicine without a license.
Can we argue more about this later?
Well, who's going to carry the news to Kriegel?
I'm going to.
And how's he going to take it?
Like Uncle Waverly says, he'll be furious. But after he calms down, I'll suggest to him that he enlist my uncle to conduct a private investigation.
Which I will undertake. But with limited results, managing to recover only part of his money.
And the part he doesn't get back will exactly match the amount he stole.
Waverly, you're a menace. You never should have retired. Righting wrongs? Who do you think you are? Robin Hood?
I was thinking more along the lines of Zorro.
Mary, slide out and let me out. I've got to get going. Time to initiate phase two.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks.
Let me know if you need me.
Mary, you and I better get going, too. We have to rendezvous with your mother. Can I help with the bill?
No, it's taken care of.
Uncle Waverly, you said I could keep the gold bug, right?
As a memento of your first case, yes.
Our first case. See you all later. Good luck with phase two.
Have a safe grip.
Waverly, how can I ever trust you again? You let me go through this blind.
I'm sorry, Alex, but I knew you'd be much more effective this way.
Sometimes you're a cruel friend.
Take thy beak from out my heart.
Quote the raven. Yes, I'm here. Do you need a doctor?
No. It's your taping session.
Oh,
we're ready for you.
Goodness, my taping session. I completely forgot. All this distraction, it completely slipped my mind. Oh, I never should have had that champagne. Yes, I'm coming.
You go ahead, Alex. I'll catch up.
Camera one, stand by. 2-1, cue the appraiser.
Appraiser, you're on. Go ahead.
Brought us something really interesting today.
Yes, I have.
They say good things come in small packages. When they do, they're usually referring to jewelry boxes. This one of yours is quite nice on the outside, but it's what's inside that's so special. What is this? A joke?
What? What do you mean?
There's no ring in here.
What?
There's no ring in here. A piece of gravel.
What?
But no ring.
Gravel?
See for yourself. The box is empty.
Gravel? My ring. Where did my ring go? Waverly? Where are you, Waverly? Where's Sandy? Summon the police. Call the guard. Get someone quick.
What's wrong?
There's no ring in here.
Someone has stolen my ring. We've got to search everybody. We've got to stop them and make them turn out their pockets.
Dr. Schofield!
Oh, not him again.
Dr. Schofield!
Not you, Augie. Get away from here, I swear.
Look at this.
My ring! Where did you find it? How did you get it?
It's not important. No.
How?
Don't thank me.
How?
Well, if you must know, I relieved you of it when you assaulted me. Then I substituted this piece of gravel and replaced the box when I gave you that little hug.
Why did you steal it, Augie?
That's not what I want to know. I want to know why he's returning it.
To demonstrate I can be honest, obviously. So long, Doctor. See you, Captain. We're even now.
So long, Augie.
So he had to steal something to prove it.
Hey, don't touch that. Leave that alone.
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of Edgar Allan Crowe and the Purloined Letter. the actors in tonight's play.
Captain Waverly Underhill was played by David Ellsworth.
Wally O'Hara played the part of Dr. Alexander Schofield.
Patience Martin played the part of Sandy Linehan.
Peter Mylan played the part of Helms Kriegel.
Bernie McPherson played the part of Agnes Musgrave.
The part of Ceramic Owner Number 1 was played by Jim Bronston.
The part of Mary Krippenkopf was played by Hannah White.
Errol Yahtzee and Earl Yahtzee were played by Michael Mellor.
The part of Professor Yuri Krippenkopf was played by Don Bliss.
Oh, yeah, the part of Greta Gnirva was played by Debbie Oney.
The part of Thirsk Fabier was played by Ed Cochran.
The part of Oggie Nicholswhite was played by Stephen Russell.
Joyce was played by Paula Hersey.
Rory the booth engineer was played by Michael Clark.
Brady Hendricks was played by Andrew Ely.
Mark Lloyd played guard number 1.
Scotty the cameraman was played by John Lavery.
The courier was played by Peter Russell.
Owner number 1 husband.
And owner number 1 wife.
By Greg
and James Geyer.
Additional voices by Natalie Miller, Gene Bates, Philip John Stead, Judith Stead, and Ann Whittier Geyer.
Produced by Stephen Oney, Mark Birmingham, and Dave Ellsworth.
Written and directed by Stephen Thomas Oney. Co-directed by Stephen Russell.
Original music by Mark Birmingham.
Editing and mixing by Jim Hall.
Special thanks to Howard Zerwitz of the American Historical Guild, to Joel Satoris of the Rare Book Department, Philadelphia Free Library, and to Jeff Savoy of the E.A. Poe Society, Baltimore. This program is copyrighted by Stephen Thomas Oney for Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. This is Stephen Oney
and Mark Birmingham wishing you a pleasant evening
and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.